Welcome to the way. Are you having a wonderful, fabulous day today? And the sun is shining down upon you. I know there's a lot of snow out there in a lot of different places. I pray you're not in one of them. Last week, I was talking about demon possession and exorcism and how the world views it. I want to continue talking about that a bit. As I was talking about it, a lot of my thoughts came to light in some different news articles that I had seen. I want to share some of those with you today as well. So, like I was talking about before, I keep seeing more and more people being possessed. I don't know if you're seeing it, just like I'm seeing it. If you know what to look for or not. Demon possession or unclean spirits, minions, people being taken over is really on the rise, brothers and sisters, and it's something we need to be mindful of. We need to know about it, because people like this are, and I believe will start attacking other people. Again, one of the reasons I'm talking about this subject is that, again, I expect possessions to happen more and more as time goes on, as we're getting towards the end times. We'll expect most of us to have an encounter or many encounters with more people that have unclean spirits or demons that have taken over their body. Now, I don't want you to be afraid of this when you see it. I just want you to be able to recognize it right away. And you may have to deal with it in some way. Just walking away might not always be a choice for you. And again, I say this not to frighten you, but just because of what's gone on, some of the things that I've read about. When someone is taken over, when they actually manifest, and it's weird, I've seen some of these things in movies where they take somebody in to torture before, you know, it's obviously like some kind of a superhero movie where they say we want to see them either change and show their powers or manifest. And a lot of people don't pick up on that, but the manifesting is of an unclean spirit. It's not something that you would like them to have in any way, shape, or form. These are true, actual possibilities, brothers and sisters. I don't say these things. This isn't a joke. So there are things that you can do when you do encounter them. We'll talk about that possibly later this episode or maybe another episode. I was talking about last week about an encounter that happened, and I'll go ahead and read that encounter again because I didn't get that far into it, so I'll just restart it. It's about a Louisa Muscovitz that was 33 years old, and this was just a few years back in 2016. And she did have a history of alcohol abuse and some chemical dependencies. She had a chemical dependency counselor, and she was in Tacoma, Washington. But she did have was having regular weekly sessions of alcohol use and abuse, and she had separated from her husband. When the counselor asked her about her marriage, she didn't want to, she wasn't ready to talk about it, and the counselor pressed it, and again Louisa demurred. In other words, she like murmured. Eventually the conversation grew tense, and Louisa started to hyperventilate of a panic attack. So she just thought she was going into a panic attack. But then, so the counselor rushed down the hall to get Louisa's therapist, Amy Harp. Together they moved Louisa to Harp's office when they felt they could, better calm her down in an office setting. But once Louisa was there, Harp recalls her demeanor transformed. Normally friendly and open, she started screaming and pulling out clumps of her hair. She growled and glared. Her head flayed, failed from side to side, cocking back at odd angles in jumbled bursts. She muttered about good and evil, Yahuwah and the devil. She told the counselor that no one there could save Louisa. So this is obviously a demon talking through her, so that she's manifesting. She's been taken over, and it's telling her therapist that no one can save her, which is something, they'll try to talk to you or other people. We're only supposed to say things like, what right do you have here, or what authority do you have to be here, and you can ask them their name. But other than that, we're not supposed to talk to them. We're not supposed to carry on conversations with a demon. All right, according to Harp, Louisa seemed to vacillate between this unhinged state and her normal self. One minute she would snarl and bare her teeth, and the next she would beg for help. It definitely had the appearance where she was fighting within herself, Harp told me. And this is typical. People will have to fight within themselves. It's a spiritual battle. It's spiritual warfare at its most hardcore moment within a person's body. And if you're not a believer and you don't know the true names of the true name of Messiah, Yahushua, then you can have a harder time rebuking them and getting rid of them. Some of them will laugh at you and telling you you don't have the authority to get rid of them. And most of the time it's because you haven't gotten rid of their legal ground that they have within the person's home or within the person. Like this person was, she had alcohol abuse problems. So she had been going on for some time with this. All right, Harp had never seen this kind of behavior before and wasn't sure what to do. But she knew that Louisa had occasionally experienced episodes in which she felt something incredibly dark overtake her, and that she would read scripture to beat back these states. That's a great thing to do, is to read scripture, especially the scriptures on authority and parts of Luke 10. So you need to read scripture verses, Harp said, her bearing still frantic. Louisa picked up her smartphone and began looking at passages. As she read, she started to calm down. Her failing diminished. Her frenzy effect ebbed. She vomited in a trash bin, and after that, she was her old self again, full of apologies, her eyes wet, her face red. This is typical. If a person's able to regain control, or they're able to read scripture, sometimes that will get rid of them for the moment, and throwing up is a normal thing to do. The encounter left Harp baffled about what she'd witnessed. For Louisa, it had a more profound effect, prompting a search for answers that would ultimately lead her away from modern medicine and its well-worn paths for mental health treatment and toward the older, more ritualized remedies of her Catholic belief, unfortunately. Louisa Moskowitz experienced a series of troubling episodes that her therapist couldn't explain. These incidents led her to seek spiritual help. The conviction that demons exist and that they exist to harass, derange, and smite human beings stretches back as far as the beginning of religion itself. Of course, this is a man-made religion. All religion is man-made. In Scripture, the true translation is actually worship or true worship and not religion. Religion has been inserted in there. It was one of the lying pen of the scribes who translated it to religion. All right. In ancient Mesopotamia, Babylonian priests performed exorcisms by casting wax figures of demons into fire. And Hindu Vedas thought to have been written between 1500 and 500 BC refer to supernatural beings known as Asuras, but largely understood today as demons that challenge the deities and sabotage human affairs. The ancient Greeks, too, demon-like creatures lurked on the shadowy fringes of the human world. So these are things that they've been recognized since, you know, a long time before Messiah, even though in the Scriptures that's where we see the majority of the miracles taking place, is of him casting out demons continuously throughout his time on life, throughout his ministry, throughout his three-year ministry. And but far from being confined, to a past demiurgus and evil eyes, belief in demonic possession is widespread in the United States today. Polls conducted in recent decades by Gallup and the data firm YouGov suggests that roughly half of Americans believe demonic possession is real. The percentage who believe the devil is even higher, and in fact has been growing. Gallup polls show that the number rose from 55% in 1990 to 70% in 2007. So he's being shown, definitely. People don't just think he's some little cartoon character with horns and a tail. The official exorcist for Indianapolis has received 1,700 requests so far in 2018. Perhaps as a result, demand for exorcism to demonic possession seems to be growing as well. Through the assemblies, does not keep official. Let's talking about the Catholic Church, does not keep official statistics. The exorcist I interviewed for this article attests to fielding more pleas for help than every year. So, like I said, I see it more and more all the time. Other denominations of "quote unquote" Christianity. I'm of the way. I don't claim Christianity because it's not of Scripture. When they say they were first called Christians in Antioch, it was Christianos, and Christianos was more of a put down. It was a put down for new converts of the way. That's what the heathens called the new converts of the way, whereas the Yahudim and Israelites would call them Nazarenes, thinking they were all from Nazareth because they followed Messiah. So we have two paradigms there that are both incorrect. They're not Nazarenes. They're not Christians. They were of the way, and I've talked about that. I have episodes online here, Hebrew Nation Radio. There's ones there also on my podcast site at SCHEJAY at podomatic.com. You can also listen to them there if you'd like. All right, Vincent Lambert, the official exorcist for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, told me in early October that he'd received 1,700 phone or email requests for exorcisms in 2018, by far the most he's ever gotten in 1 year. Gary Thomas, a priest who's training as an exorcist in Rome, was documented in The Right, a book published in 2009 and made into a movie in 2011, said that he gets at least a dozen requests a week. Several other priests reported that without support from the church staff and volunteers, their exorcism ministry would quickly swallow up their entire weekly schedule. Now, people are doing these. Not all of them work. Not all of them turn out good. A lot of people have been hurt. You may have read some articles about people being hurt in exorcisms. I have, especially over, I'd say over the last month or two. Okay. Left-wing media run by actual demon-possessed, anti-human, evil entities. So, Mike Adams, he did an article that talks about, I'll share it with you. He talks about the people in the media are completely possessed, and I've read other articles where this just on the rise more and more. So I just want to share with you that it's not just me that feel this way. Mike Adams is a well-documented scientist and does a lot of articles on health and well-being. You may have read this article. If you have, I apologize for sharing it again. But he tells it like it is, and I agree with him. Okay, so he says, the rise of Satanism in America, how members of the Satanic Temple focus on activism, religious pluralism, and social diversity, but surprisingly not devil worship, as leaders are plagued by death threats and infighting. The Satanic Temple, founded in 2012 by Lucian Grievous and Malcolm Jerry, has since spread to dozens of chapters across the U.S. and Europe. Its evolution is chronicled in a new documentary called Hail Satan, directed by Penny Lane, which has its world premiere this month at Sundance Film Festival, right? Just what everybody needs. The temple, which runs a property open to the public in Salem, Massachusetts, sets out seven tenets focusing on activism, diversity, and the bodies in the bodies in seemingly way to exist. TST has made various political moves, from demanding a statue of Baphomet. I'm sure you might have read some articles about them being displayed on state property, to suing Netflix for a portrayal in the new Sabrina series. So they're responsible for trying to get equal liberty restored for them and have their statue of Hasatan posted up there where the Ten Commandments are. Detroit chapter head Jex Blackmore, who features prominently in the film, has been kicked out of the temple. Grief says in the film, this is the infancy of the Satanic Temple. In our own humble little way, we are changing the world. They first cropped up and seemingly out of nowhere about 6 years ago, adorned in black capes and curved devil horns affixed to their heads. So they're just trying to change themselves to look more like Hasatan. Holding posters and black American flags as they shouted Hail Satan on the steps of government institutions from Arkansas and Florida to Oklahoma and Detroit. The antics and declarations seem like a hoax to many onlookers and journalists and politicians like, but this is real, brothers and sisters. It's not a hoax in any way, until it became apparent that members of newly formed the Satanic Temple were here to stay, and they were growing exponentially since TTST founded in 2012. The organization has increased from a handful of members to tens of thousands, with chapters all over the U.S. and the globe, from Stockholm to London and Los Angeles to Texas. And their pranksterism, as filmmaker Penny Lane first considered it, has given way to a well-conceived ethos, forming an organization, an organized religion, for a group that contains the post, is opposed to any organization at all. The Satanic Temple, it seems, is becoming more and more firmly established across the United States, largely composed of individuals who don't even worship Satan in the first place, but center on a different interpretation of scriptural teachings. And Lane's new documentary film about the group, premiering later this month at Utah's famed Sundance Film Festival, paints a surprising portrait of the unlikely religion, one which has challenged even the preconceived notions of the director herself. The reason this became a feature-length documentary was that I found so many interesting surprises at each stage of discovery, says Lane. The title of whose documentary, Hail Satan, fittingly addresses the controversy surrounding the relatively neophyte group. Co-founder of the Satanic Temple, Lucien Grievous Center, poses on other followers of TST, which began in 2012, has become well known for high-profile stunts and activisms. Plus 12, it says. The co-founder of the Satanic Temple, Lucien Grieves Center, poses with other followers of TST, which began in 2012 and has become well known for high-profile stunts and activisms. Grieves, posing with a statue of Baphomet, the goat-headed representation of the devil, is a key idol in a new documentary, Hail Satan, which premieres this week at Sundance Festival in Utah. Grieves, posing with the statue of Baphomet, the goat-headed representation of the devil, is a key idol in the new documentary Hail Satan, which premieres this week. Okay, various chapters are more extreme than others, such as the Detroit chapter, formerly headed by Jex Blackmore. Blackmore has since been kicked out of the temple after calling for violence and the execution of the U.S. president, which goes against the peaceful tenets of the TST. The film follows the grassroots beginning of the Satanic Temple and its progression across the country and the world, with various chapters cropping up everywhere from London to Detroit, where a member known as Jex Blackmore. Alright, that's going to be it for the moment. We'll be back with more in just a few minutes. Thank you. back to the way. All right. We're talking about demon possession. We're talking about the problems with this, they call it a grassroots movement of the satanic temples going, popping up everywhere across the world. And so this one person gets kicked out for the violence that they are calling for. And the temple commissioned a massive sculpture of Baphomet posing with children, which has been displayed across the country. It argued that if the Ten Commandments could be installed on government property, such as in Oklahoma and Arkansas, that the Baphomet sculpture and other religious iconography should be given equal space. I disagree, but okay. The temple commissioned a massive sculpture of Baphomet posing with children, which has been displayed around the country. It argued that if the Ten Commandments, okay, same scenario. I don't know why it repeated it. Okay, in addition to Black Mass, which is a traditional Catholic Mass rituals held outside the Michigan State Capitol above the Satanic Temple, attempted to stage one on the Harvard campus in Boston, but a massive counter march by the archdiocese prompted its cancellation, and it was moved to a nearby Chinese restaurant comedy club. In addition to Black Mass, which traditionally again is a Catholic Mass rituals held outside. They continue with different antics all over. We've had other different situations come into play again, where people are calling for, are saying that the media is also controlled with a bunch of people that are demon possessed. All right, every layer of the union that we peeled back, there was like something really surprising at the next layer. The first thing you could know, I could see, was how serious and intelligent they were, despite that you might expect of a bunch of Satanists. They were really sophisticated thinkers, and many times the people would go out in public against what they would do. They would sound like raving lunatics. In comparison to the protesting hardcore Christians, she says the Satanists were like the adults in the room, not at all what I was expecting. The next thing I came to understand was they weren't pretending to be Satanists to make a political point. They were Satanists. My understanding of what a Satanist was simply incorrect. So those who were the first kind of two layers of surprise forming. Modern Satanism is a non-theistic religious practice that uses the symbol of the literal symbol of Satan as a kind of symbol against tyrannical authorities, she tells. Hail Satan follows not only the TST founders, but also regular members across the country and the world trying to get a more accurate picture of day-to-day life at a local level, which is really at the heart of what the Satanic Temple is. Lane continues, like, oh, it looks like a bunch of headline-grabbing clever pranks, but in reality, what's going on here is nice people gathering in their communities who organize charity events or do challenge very, very local power. Okay, so let's put them into a different light. Let's turn darkness into light now. All right, the documentary initially focuses on the co-founder, Lucian Grievous, not his real name, though he's pictured on camera and has essentially become the spokesperson for TST, and Malcolm Jerry, whose face is never shown. Many members, in fact, are pixelated in footage, and quite a big deal is made of the threats to members from people who opposed to their views, despite the fact that many detractors have no idea what TST members actually believe. The seven tenets of the Satanic Temple: one should strive to act with compassion and empathy towards all creatures in accordance with reason. The struggle for justice is an ongoing and necessary pursuit that should prevail over laws and institutions. One's body is inavoidable, subject to one's own will alone. The freedoms of others should be respected, including the freedom to offend, to willfully and unjustly encroach upon the freedoms of another is to forego one's own. Belief should conform to one's best scientific understanding of the world. One should take never to distort scientific facts to fit one's belief. People are fallible. If one makes a mistake, one should do one's best to rectify it and resolve any harm that might have been caused. So they're basically trying to make them out to be good law-abiding citizens, even though they worship Hasatan. All right. Every tenet is a guiding principle designed to inspire nobility in action and thought. The spirit of compassion, wisdom, and justice should always prevail over the written or spoken word. Greaves, for example, an articulate, well-educated 43-year-old with a somewhat disconcerting eye condition, is shown putting on a bulletproof vest before a public event as fellow temple members go over security plans to keep him safe. There's huge amounts of death threats and hatred and actuality. To be frank, some mentally individuals out there who absolutely are really scary, Lane tells DailyMail.com. Every time they went to an event, there were sensitive conversations about their security. I don't want to overstate the fear, but it's more like you never know what can happen, and the amount of daily kind of violence that is threatened against them is really shocking. You're coming out against people that don't believe in Satanisms, and you want to put the Baphomet against the Ten Commandments. Of course you're going to run into these kinds of problems. Because the Satanic Temple has been formed years after the devil worship panic of the 80s and 90s, when there was a witch hunt by the far right, fueled urban legends and blamed horrid crimes on the followers of Beelzebub. There were multiple incarnations of satanic-centric religions and cults going back centuries. The Satanic Temple did not invent modern Satanism, Greaves says in the film. Jasper Peterson, who wrote The Invitation of Satanism, says that a founding aspect of Satanism is that you troll people, they faint or get angry or whatever happens, and then you move on. Okay. Real Satanism, I mean, is basically the worship of oneself is what is also known throughout it if you look into it. All right. He refers to the Church of Satan, founded in 1966 by the flamboyant Hollywood character Antoine LaVey, which billed itself as the first above-ground organization in history openly dedicated to the acceptance of man's true nature, that of a carnal beast living in cosmos that is different to our existence. And, of course, Anton LaVey has a lot of quotes, one of them being that he's so glad that Christian parents allow their kids to worship Satan on the most high day of Satan, which is Halloween, which is a great quote. I like, I post that one when it comes to Halloween some years. All right, to us, Satan is the symbol that best suits the nature of we who are carnal by birth, people who feel no battles raging between our thoughts and feelings. We who do not embrace the concept of a soul imprisoned in a body, he represents pride, liberty, and individualism, qualities often defined as evil by those who worship external deities who feel there is a war between their minds and emotions. Well, we're all supposed to control our emotions, right? And take our thoughts captive and walk as Messiah walked. That's a war going on. We're told that the yoke is not heavy, but okay. Author Peterson in Hail Satan says the Church of Satan is the watershed moment in the history of Satanism. That's where the attribution of satanic identity is not just something people do to others, it's something people do to themselves. Well, both Church of Satan and TST members self-identify. He says the Church of Satan was much more of a rat pack carnival. They were never political, whereas the Satanic Temple is actually refining Satanism and making it into a new tool, a new weapon in the ongoing culture wars. The Satanic Temple, for example, is not afraid to take legal action when it feels the representation of Baphomet and other satanic icons are not accurate reflections of its ethos and organization. When Netflix released its new Chilling Adventures of Sabrina series last autumn, for example, the show featured a goat-headed statue of Baphomet, very similar to a sculpture commissioned by TST, which the temple contended was portrayed as evil. The Satanic Temple sued Warner Brothers and Netflix, and in November announced that it had amicably settled the lawsuit, which also resolved that TST would be acknowledged in credits for pre-filmed episodes of the series. The Satanic Temple religious studio, studies professor R. Andrews Chestnut tells DailyMail.com, this is the one that wrote the article, actually present themselves as atheists and really seeing Satan more as a metaphor. Okay, so they're not really Satanists, they're just atheists that see him as a metaphor. Okay. Again, they're trying to repackage it. They always want to repackage how they worship Satan to try to make it look more appealing. They've actually been criticized by other old school Satanist groups. How on earth can you say you're Satanist, but at the same time claim to be atheist? Because if you believe in Satan, Satan is a supernatural figure. Exactly. This is like double talk. So they're really kind of a new generation of Satanists, and I think more than actual veneration of Satan, this is really about more kind of politicized. That's what it seems like to me. They're just politicizing him, but still trying to throw his statue out there, which is an abomination, in my opinion. He adds they don't really seem engaged in the kind of organized rituals and worship that the older school Satanist groups do. While the organization as a whole is unafraid of the spotlight, however, many individual members are not as eager to be identified. Most of the interviewers featured in Hail Satan from the top of the organization down go by pseudonyms. Many of them, however, look as one would expect. Jax Blackmore, for example, the former head of the Detroit chapter, is a pale beauty favoring dark hair and makeup, shown in one protest dressed as a nun, her nose pierced and her attitude defiant. The Satanic Temple, for example, is not afraid to take legal action when it feels that representations of Baphomet and other satanic icons are not accurately reflected of its ethos and organization. So again, going in, they went after Netflix, and so, all right, that satanic, the Satanic Temple, for example, is not afraid to do these things. They don't care about, they're fine being political. An attempt to provoke and counter the Westboro Baptist Church, which protests soldiers' funerals and opposes gay rights, the Satanic Temple held a ceremony over the graves of the wife of Westboro leader Fred Phelps and mother of Fred Phelps Jr., who took up the family mantle, claiming to turn the dead woman gay in the afterlife. Okay. Co-founder Greaves is pictured presiding over a lesbian couple kissing at the grave. I mean, we just want to have more and more abominations. We, you know, they don't want to stop. Just want to keep throwing it at us. In an attempt to provoke and counter the Westboro Baptist Church, which protests against soldiers' funerals, they keep doing these things. TST members frequently dress in black, display the double horn signs, and sometimes affix horns to their heads, and carry black American flags as they protest what they consider to be injustice or intolerance, particularly when it comes to political causes. As chapters have cropped up across the U.S. and Europe, the Satanic Temple has also implemented a national council which weighs in on major decisions. As chapters have cropped up around the U.S. and Europe, the Satanic Temple has also implemented a national council which weighs in on major decisions and policies. If you're godless, free-thinking, and are a rebel, then you are a Satanist in the eyes of many in our community and society, and certainly by people in your government, whether you like it or not. Blackmore says in the film, "Before I decided I was a Satanist, it was really the scriptures that said this is what a Satanist was like." Well, you know, the government, the people that really run things, those people are all Satanists. They all worship him. There's a lot that probably goes on the behind the scenes that they don't mention about these people also. Blackmore, who ironically once played Eve in a middle school play, continues, "The story of Adam and Eve is a story of Eve's original sin. Eve was curious, as her nature was a woman. The devil appeared in the form of a snake and offers the fruit of enlightenment. We are taught to fear that, but at the same time it seems the most liberating, because if we did not have the opportunity, we would have to be total servitude without free choice. Ultimate servitude is slavery. Reframing it in the light of salvation is probably one of the greatest tricks ever played on humankind." And of course, because Hasatan wanted to overthrow Yahuwah because he didn't like the way he was running things. But salvation through obedience and wanting to transform our bodies and minds into the way Messiah walked is definitely, in my opinion, not slavery. It's obedience, and because we love him, we obey his commands. It's really simple, but the way they twist these things is just disgusting. All right, Satanism is about embracing that satanic status rather than being controlled by it. After I learned about the Satanic Temple, I set up a time to meet with Lucian. Throughout the conversation, I realized that we have very similar ideas of what contemporary Satanism was evolving into be. the devil directly challenged Yahuwah. So as a Satanist, I believe that directly confronting injustice and corrupt authority is an expression of one's satanic faith, and I believe activism is a satanic practice. Right, just what we need, more Satanists in politics. Traditionally, Satanists practice very privately, closed doors, black candles, black metal music, but with the satanic philosophy being where Satanism represents rebellion against arbitrary authority, we believe it requires a level of political participation. I think that we need to go out into the public sphere and announce ourselves without shame. Okay. So we see these things that are going on here. But the other things that we see are, again, the things going on with other people in the world that are in the media. We know that there's a whole different thing going on with people that are constantly trying to put a leftist view on it, a liberalist view, socialist view on things, and in other places we see that they talk about that they're not going to take over the world or anything, but they're obviously people who see themselves as being part of that marginalized outsider status, who still want to be able to engage society and find brethren and organize themselves. That's what they do, and they've really hit upon something that really does resonate for a lot more people than maybe I thought at the beginning. Various satanic rituals involve nudity, candles, and contraventions of traditional religious ceremonies. While the more extreme elements of satanic temple practice capture the public imagination, many members simply believe in its tenets to help the community and go about their regular daily jobs. So we see that they're trying to make themselves look good by doing these things, but in reality, I mean, you can dress a duck to look like that it's not a duck, but if it walks like a duck, it talks like a duck, quacks like a duck, we know that it's still a duck. And so these things can continue on, unfortunately. And as I was sharing with you before, I really do expect us to see more and more problems with people being possessed, people being taken over, something that is going to be seen a lot more as time goes on, because he doesn't have a lot of time left. Hasatan does not have a lot of time left. His time is almost over. So he's gonna keep trying to do everything he can do to try to get people off